Book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. Nehemiah, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Nehemiah, chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." We'll jump down to verse number 11. It says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer." We continue in chapter 2. "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, If it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it." And then if we'll jump down to verse number 17. "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Father, again, we ask that you just bless in the message now. Use it. May we speak to hearts. And Lord, just draw us closer to you. And Father, we ask that you just work in the service this morning. Thank you for those joining us via live stream as well. And Lord, just bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week in our Vision Sunday, we introduced what we are calling the Nehemiah Project. And this morning, I want to share more of what that is and why we're calling it the Nehemiah Project. If you're familiar with the story of Nehemiah, you'll know that Nehemiah is actually chronologically in the Old Testament. It's actually more towards the end of the Old Testament. All of the prophets and the minor prophets deal with the warning of God's judgment upon Israel. And then, of course, God brings judgment upon Israel and Judah. They're taken into captivity. And through the book of Ezra, we see that God used Ezra to go back to Jerusalem from captivity, to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And then after Ezra rebuilds the temple, then we find Nehemiah here still in Shushan, in the palace here. And so many of the Jews were still kind of under captivity. Some had been allowed to go back to Jerusalem as Cyrus was going to allow them to rebuild the temple. He allowed some of the Jews to go back. But many of the Jews were still in foreign lands. They were still, many of them, out of their country. And we find that is where we're picking up with Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah was really, if you think about it, Nehemiah had a pretty good job. Or he could have had a really bad job. If you know what it means to be the cupbearer of the king, it means that any food or anything that was brought to the king, Nehemiah got to eat it and taste it first. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, all types of foods that the king must have ate, all these different delicacies and things. I mean, Nehemiah got to taste it even before the king did. So that's pretty good. But here's where it could be really bad. The reason why Nehemiah tasted it first was to make sure it wasn't poisoned. Right? So if anybody died, it wouldn't be the king, it was the cupbearer. It'd be Nehemiah. So really good job at one side, but you really hope that there's nothing bad on the other side, because you could be dead in minutes, right? So Nehemiah's got a pretty good job, and he's there working in the palace there. He's no doubt probably has a very nice place to live in the palace. He's trusted by Artaxerxes, who at this time is basically the most powerful man in the world. He is the supreme ruler on the earth at this time, Xerxes is, and Nehemiah is trusted by him. So let's face it, I mean, when you're trusted by the most powerful man on the earth, I'm sure there were some pretty good perks that came along with that, all right? I'm sure he had a really nice place to stay. I'm sure he was dressed in the finest clothes, because you didn't just come before the king dressed like a pauper, right? I mean, when you were brought before the king, you made sure that you looked nice and you smelled nice. And I mean, everything was just nice. You did not want to offend the king in any way. So Nehemiah's got a pretty good thing going here, right? And one day, a relative of his comes from Jerusalem. His name was Hanani. And Hanani begins to tell Nehemiah about what's going on. And he says, hey, how's things going at home? What's going on back in Jerusalem? And he begins to tell him that really the city is in disarray. Ezra had gone back to rebuild the temple, but it had taken longer than what they expected because of opposition and things. And now you have the walls of the city have still not been built up. The gates, all of those things that would provide protection for the city were still in disarray. The people were still in affliction. And so things were just not good back in Jerusalem. And this really broke Nehemiah's heart. If you look in verse number 4 of chapter 1, it says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This broke Nehemiah's heart to hear that the city of Jerusalem was still not where it needed to be, that the city walls were still torn down, and the people were still being afflicted, and just things weren't going well there. And it broke his heart, because he remembered, no doubt, when they had gone back, and he thought, man, surely things are going really well in Jerusalem. This is God's city. It's the holy city. And no doubt, he was probably thinking, maybe one day I'll get to go back and see the grand splendor of Jerusalem again. And then he hears that it's all a mess. Nehemiah begins to pray. And as he's praying, God begins to put in Nehemiah's heart to go back to Jerusalem. But not to go back and see the glorious splendor of Jerusalem, because that doesn't exist now. But to go back to Jerusalem and build the walls and the gates of the city again. But this would definitely not be an easy task. I mean, you think about it. Here is Artaxerxes, and he is the ruler of the known world at this time. Here's a man that really doesn't care about the Jewish people. I mean, he conquered them. He has them enslaved. He has many of them in captivity, serving. And really, it wouldn't have been, Xerxes probably wouldn't have thought anything if Nehemiah had died. Well, that was just one of the Jews that was a slave. Yeah, I trusted him, but you know what? Hey, I can get somebody else. And so you have this issue that Nehemiah says, I really believe that God wants me to go back and rebuild the city walls and provide protection for the city, but what do I do about Xerxes? What do I do about this? Because here's a man that really is not going to care about Jerusalem. He's not going to care about the city walls. I mean, why would he, the king of Persia, why would Xerxes care about some walls around some city in Jerusalem? He's not going to care about those things. And so Nehemiah begins to pray. And he begins to pray. And one day, the Bible tells us in chapter 2 that one day Nehemiah was before the king, and the king noticed that Nehemiah was sad. Again, you didn't want to be sad, you didn't want to look bad, you didn't want to do anything negative before the king. You're talking about a man that all he had to do is snap his fingers and your head is off, right? I mean, this was not the guy to mess with. And the king noticed that he is sad. And notice verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. He said, you're sorrowing. There's something wrong, Nehemiah, and I don't like it. And notice what Nehemiah says. Then I was very sore afraid. Nehemiah says, I know all it's going to take. If the king's in a bad mood and he sees that I'm sad and he says I don't like it, all it takes is just one snap and I'm a dead man. The Bible says that Nehemiah went ahead and began to explain and what was going on. And God gave him favor in the eyes of the king to be able to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the gates of the city. And as we think about this that we introduced last week, the Nehemiah Project, we're trying to raise money to be able to either purchase a building or to build a new building. We're calling it the Nehemiah Project. And we want to look at some of the things that God used in the life of Nehemiah to help him to accomplish this task of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. Now again, you have to remember, a city in those days, they would always build walls around the city and gates for protection so that if enemies came, they just couldn't easily get in and rampage the city. There would be walls there for safety and security. At night, the gates would be closed so enemies couldn't come at night and just enter in. And so there was a great need for this in the city of Jerusalem. But again, you're talking about walls that would go all the way around a city. We're talking about miles of walls, right? And these were not just, you know, 6-inch walls, right? We're talking about these were very thick walls. In fact, if you remember in the book of Joshua, the walls of the city of Jericho were so great, the walls of the city were so great that they could take two chariots side by side on the top of the walls, okay? Remember, people would actually live in the walls. The walls were so big, they would actually have homes in the walls of the city. That's where Rahab, her home was in the wall of the city. So these aren't just like little 6-inch walls or 8-inch walls. We're talking about these are massive walls. And so he's saying God has put it on his heart to go back and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. It's a great feat to undertake. It would not be an easy task. So how was Nehemiah able to accomplish this project? And what can we, as a church, learn from it? Well, let's look at a couple of things this morning to see how Nehemiah was able to accomplish this task. First of all, we find that they were willing to sacrifice. They sacrificed. They were willing to sacrifice what they had. Again, if you think about it, here in chapter 1, we know that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. He had a very good job. And yet, when God put it in Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the walls, Nehemiah said, you know what? I'm willing to leave the comforts that I have. I'm willing to leave this beautiful place that I live in. I'm willing to leave the palace. I'm willing to leave the good food that I enjoy and the being in the king's company. I'm willing to leave all of those things and go back to a place that is not glorious. Go back to a place that is in disarray. Go to a place that needs work. Now, let's face it. In the palace, being the cupbearer, Nehemiah is probably not doing a lot of work. He's probably not doing a lot of manual physical work. And now he's willing to leave all of that to go back to Jerusalem to do manual physical work to simply rebuild the walls of the city. He was willing to leave his job, willing to leave the comforts and the pleasures that he enjoyed there in Shushan the palace, and go back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. In chapter 5, we find as Nehemiah is back in Jerusalem, he finds that there were those who were really being selfish. They were being very greedy. In fact, even some of the rulers that were there were kind of impoverishing their own people. And Nehemiah rebukes them and he says, look, you can't be doing this. These are our own people. Why are you charging them tax, and why are you charging them these extra things and taking stuff from them? These are our own people, and if we're going to accomplish this, we have to be willing to work together through all of this. We have to be all working together. And notice what it says here in chapter 5, in verse number 11, he says, restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, the 100th part of the money and of the corn, the wine, the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and we require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. They said, you know what, Nehemiah, if this is what it takes to get the job done, you know what, you're right, we shouldn't have been doing these things, and so we're going to stop. And not only are we going to stop, we're actually going to give back to them what they need. We're going to help. We're going to make sure that we are working in this together. And Nehemiah was really, he understood that this was not a time in what they were planning to do. It was not a time to be selfish and greedy and to take advantage of others. This was a time that everyone was going to have to sacrifice to be able to accomplish this great task. And we'll see a little bit more about the task in just a minute. But in coming back to us today, how we can learn from this is that this is a time in the life of our church that we cannot just think of ourselves. It'd be very easy for us just to think of self during this time, but we must be thinking of future generations. We have to think of the generations to come. We could say, you know, it'd be very easy to say, you know, we're comfortable here. You know, the church has been here for 70 years, and this is just where we want to be, right? But that's just for us. That's just for us. That's selfish reasons. But what does God want to do through the church? And as the church is growing and expanding and there's a need for larger facilities, are we going to come together and say, you know what, this is something that God wants us to do as a church and all work together? We are thinking of the next generation, really, we don't know when the Lord is going to return. None of us do. The Lord could come back today. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? If he did, praise the Lord. Amen? Some of you don't seem too excited about that, but I guarantee if it happened, you would be very excited, okay? You know, and so the Lord, but he may not come back this year. He may not come back for 20 years. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. And so as long as the Lord tarries his coming, we cannot just be thinking of ourselves. We have to be thinking of the next generation and how God is going to use them and how we can begin investing in their lives and these young people and the generation that is all over there, those first through sixth graders in the other building. Look, that's another generation that's coming up that they need to be invested in. And this is that opportunity for us to say, look, it's not just about us now, but it's about the future. We have an opportunity to build something just as they did 60 years ago. I don't know if you know this or not, but this was not the original auditorium building. The original building that was built is the building that is now being used for the nursery. The nursery and some classes over there, that's the original building. And God began to bless, and the church began to grow back in the 50s, and God began to do some great things. Now, they could have said, you know what? This building is enough. We're okay. I mean, we're full, but, you know, we're just gonna stay the way we are. But they realized that, hey, if the Lord is going to continue to bless, we're going to have to expand, and we're going to have to think about the next generation. So you know what they did? They ended up building this auditorium. They built this building. And God has continued to bless. For 60 years, God has blessed in this building, in this auditorium, and souls have been saved, and lives have been changed, and people are growing. But guess what's happening? The church is growing, and we're running out of room. That's why we have to have two services now. We have the early service, which, man, there was a great crowd this morning in the early service, and now that leaves room for people to come in the second service at 10:30. And so, man, praise the Lord for those that are willing to come early so that we can have a little bit of elbow room in the second service. But there's growth, and God is being so good to our church, but here's an opportunity to move forward in building. Nehemiah understood that they had to work together. In fact, when you look at chapter 3, and you don't have time to read the whole chapter, but if you look at chapter 3, it lists all of those involved in the building. It wasn't just Nehemiah. It wasn't just a few people. Everybody got involved in building the wall, right? Let's just read the first couple of verses together. It says, then Eliashab, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Maah. They sanctified it under the tower of Hananel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho. And next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasena build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Coaz. And next unto them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshebazel. The next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. And if you keep reading, it just says, and next unto them, and next unto them, and next unto them, and next unto them, and next unto them. And it throughout this whole chapter, and again, the reason I'm not going to read the whole chapter is because it's a little repetitive of what it says, but there's a lot of names there I don't want to pronounce, okay? You can do that in your own time, all right? But here you have this group of people saying, hey, we understand the need here, and we're going to work together. Now, here's the thing. As Nehemiah is giving this, he says, hey, God has let us, we're going to rebuild the walls of the city and all the gates, right? We're going to rebuild all of these things. And then they begin to look at the miles of walls that are going to have to be rebuilt. They're like, Nehemiah, this is impossible. There's no way that we're going to be able to do this. And we can look at last week, if we have the slide there, we can put the one up with the different numbers. This year, with the Nehemiah Project, where our goal is to raise $120,000 this year for our building fund. And it'd be easy to say, man, $120,000, Pastor, that's crazy. There's no way that we could raise $120,000 in a year. Well, hold on a second. Didn't just a month ago we raised $80,000 in one day? We raised $80,000 in one day to put towards a building fund. I think $120,000 over a whole year is pretty doable, right? You say, Pastor, man, $10,000 a month, that's crazy. And $120,000 over the whole year, that's huge. And it is big. No, there's no doubt about it. But I think that's exactly why Nehemiah did what he did. And Nehemiah was just, he really was a genius. Obviously, the Lord was working through him. But here's what Nehemiah said. He said, look, let me get a couple guys to come up here. Give me five of you guys. Come up here real quick. You guys right on the front row. Come up here. Sorry if you were in the early service. I didn't do this illustration. So, you know, you guys in the second service, you guys get extras, right? So here's what he said. You know what? We could say, you know what? Look at this wall. This wall is just going to be huge. This is going to take forever to build. I mean, we're talking about miles of wall. So this is what we're going to do. You know what? I'm going to have you. You're going to come over here, and all you're going to do, TJ, all you're concerned about is this gate. You're concerned about the fish gate, right? You don't worry about what Luke is doing. You don't worry about what the fish gate, that's yours, all right? You stay right there. And you work, this is your fish gate right here, okay? Landon, you're gonna be right next to TJ. Now, you're not working on the fish gate. You're working on this section of the wall, right? This section right here, next to the fish gate, but not the fish gate. Don't touch the fish gate. That's his. You're working on this section of the wall, right? Get right there, all right? Luke, come here. You're going to be right next to Landon. Now, don't worry about what TJ's doing on the fish gate. And don't worry about Landon's doing on his part of the wall. I want you to work on this section of the wall right here, okay? Don't worry about him. You take care of this right here. Brian, you're going to be right here, right? This is going to be your section of the wall, okay? Don't worry about TJ down there. Don't worry about Landon. Don't worry about Luke. This is your section right here of the wall. This is what you're going to work on. Jordan, here's your section of the wall. This is what you're going to be building, right? And this is what he does. He breaks up the wall, not physically, but he breaks up all of the sections of the wall. And he says, you're going to work on this section right here. This is what you need to be concerned about. You don't worry anything about what those guys are doing down there. That's not up to you. That's up to them, right? You're concerned about this right here. Brian, you're concerned about your part right here. Luke, you're concerned about your part. TJ, or Landon, you're concerned about yours. You're concerned about the fish gate. Now, they could start looking at one another and be like, well, I didn't get the fish gate. Well, I didn't get a wall. I mean, the wall seems to be, you know, that seems to be a little bit stronger. You know, I mean, look at all the block that they're putting in there. Man, that looks really cool. All I got is a fish gate. But as they simply did exactly what Nehemiah said, look, you've got this section and you've got this section. You're concerned. Why are you looking over here? Don't look. You're concerned with your section. Don't look out there. Look right here. This is your section of the wall. Yeah, there you go. There you go, Jordan. You got your section. Very good. Hey, look at your section of the wall, guys. Come on. Get busy. Right? And this is what they did. Over and over, this is how they were able to accomplish it. Nehemiah broke it all up and said, look, you don't worry about what's going on the north side. You don't worry about what's going on the east side or the west side. You worry about this section that I'm giving you right here. And you take care of that part, and everybody else will take care of their part, and we'll be able to build this wall. Isn't that fascinating? this miles of miles of walls. But Nehemiah said, you know what? We're not looking at the wall. I don't want you looking at the miles and miles. I want you looking at this section right here. That's what I want you to be concerned about. That's what I want you to be working on. Don't worry about the fish gate. Don't worry about the other gates. You work on your section right here. And when everyone got involved in their part, the wall got built. The wall got built because they were doing their part. They weren't worried about somebody else's part. They were doing that. Thank you, guys. You can go down. They were working on their part, right? And that's what he's talking about. Now, let me just say, whether we get this building that we've bid on or not, we're praying that we do, if that's what the Lord's will is. But whether we get the building or not, we are going to be building or buying a building sometime somewhere. And so we need everyone working together. You say, man, $120,000, that's huge. Wait a minute. Unless you're writing a check for $120,000, you don't need to be looking at $120,000. Now, if you're willing to write a check for $120,000, please see me after the service. I would love to talk to you. I mean, that would be great, all right? One Sunday, we got it done. Okay. Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. So don't worry about the $120,000. You say, well, man, but $10,000 a month, that's huge. Why are you looking at $10,000 a month? Are you writing a check for $10,000? If you're not, then why are you looking at it? What you need to look at is what God wants you to do. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You work and do what God wants you to do. And man, I'm telling you, if you take that $120,000, you break it down into 12 months, that's $10,000 a month. Do you know that that would only take 100 people or 100 families giving $100 a month to get $120,000 in a year? Just 100 families or individuals giving $100 a month. That's a little bit easier to do than $120,000, isn't it? $100 a month. You might be able to say, hey, I could do $100 a month. Or, I can't do $100, but I can do $50. You know what? That's your part. $50. You say, well, I can't do $100, I can't do $50, but I can do $25. You know what? That's your part. You don't be worried about what others are doing. You simply do what God leads you to do. And how you can have a part in this, everyone working together to accomplish this project that we have. And there might be some that say, you know what, I could actually do more than $100. There might be some that say, I could do $500 a month or $200 a month. And that's going to help make up for maybe that one that can't do the $100 a month. But just 100 people giving $100, there's $120,000 right there. And there's so many ways to do it. Man, I was so blessed this week. One of the families in the church, the mom came up to me and they said, Pastor, I want to share something with you. And she said, you know, these girls, they're getting a little bit older now, but when they were young, and when they first started coming to the church a couple years ago, the only way that I knew who these girls were was because of the bows that they would put in their hair. And they had these really big bows that they would wear, and every week it was like a different bow, and they were cute and everything, but that, I mean, I knew who they were. They had those bows in their hair. And they said, Mom, we're kind of getting too old for the bows now. And look, when girls are little, they love all the fancy things and bows and stuff, but as they start getting older, bows and stuff don't quite become, you know, young ladies anymore, right? And so they said, Mom, we want to get rid of the bows. And so they asked, they said, well, what would you like to do? And they said, we would like to sell the bows and give it to the church building fund. Now, who told them to do that? Mom and Dad didn't tell them to do that. Nobody in the church told them to do that. There's just some young ladies that saw, hey, you know what? There's a need, and we're part of the church, and if we can sell our bows, we're willing to give that to the church building fund. You see, everyone working together is able to accomplish the job. Some could have garage sales to give. I know last year when we were thinking about having this, some people started doing some garage sales, and some raised several $100 to be able to give on that giving Sunday when we did it. Some of you teens could, you could get some yards and maybe in the neighborhood and mow some yards to be able to raise some money or do some work for some seniors that need help. Or some classes could collect coins like they did for the AGP and have classes and say, hey, this is going to be for the building fund. There are many ways that everybody can be involved. And that's what chapter 3 is. They were worried about their section. This is my section. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to worry about what others are doing. This is what I want to do for God. And I'm going to work here on this part of the building. And you know what's amazing? You know how long it took them to build miles and miles of wall around the city of Jerusalem? It took them years to build the temple. Man, they started and then they stopped and then they started again. It took them years. It only took them 52 days to build these miles of walls around the city of Jerusalem. And again, don't forget, we're not talking about 9-inch walls, 6-inch walls. We're talking about walls that are going to provide safety and security from an enemy. It took them less than 2 months. You know why? Because they were willing to sacrifice. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we can in 52 days we're going to have $120,000 or in 52 days we're going to be in a new building. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying when they all came together, God worked and God blessed. And in 52 days, they were able to build the walls. So we see, first of all, they were willing to sacrifice. Notice, secondly, they were courageous. They were courageous. Again, think about this. Here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah is before the king, and the king sees that he's sad. And he's like, you know what? If I say the wrong word, I'm dead. But what does he do? He begins to pray. He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And he begins to pray. No doubt, the king said, hey, what's going on? And Nehemiah, he doesn't fall down his knees and start praying. I'm sure he's praying in his heart and his head, Lord, please help me. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I've got to give Artaxerxes an answer. And so he begins to tell him what's going on. And then notice what happens. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulcher, that I may build it. Look, it's taken quite the courage for Nehemiah to stand in front of the king, the most powerful man on the earth at this time, and say, I need to leave. I need to go back to Jerusalem. Well, why do you need to go back? Well, I need to build some walls. Again, what does these walls have to do with Xerxes' kingdom? Why does he care about these walls? He doesn't care about them. But yet he was courageous enough to say, Lord, I believe that this is what you want me to do. And so God, I'm trusting you to work in the heart of this man that he will allow me to go and be able to do what you want me to do. And he stood courageously there in front of the king. Not only then, but we also find out that he and the others stood courageously among opposition. When there was opposition there, when we go to chapter 4, in chapter 4, we find there were several people that were opposed to these walls being rebuilt. The enemies of Jerusalem, the enemies of the Jews, were opposed to the walls being rebuilt. They were the ones that were keeping Jerusalem and the people in disarray. They didn't want these walls to be rebuilt. Look what it says in chapter 4, verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Down to verse number 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stones. So here they come, and they start mocking the Israelites for building the walls. They're laughing at them. They're mocking them. I mean, even trying to just cut them to the heart. They're like, man, you guys don't know how to build. I mean, you know nothing about it. I mean, if a fox came up and just ran across your walls, they would fall apart. Man, you guys don't know nothing. I mean, they were just mocking and ridiculing. But watch what happens. Nehemiah says in verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach unto their own head and give them for a prey into the land of captivity. God, we're here doing what you want us to do. We have opposition. We have an enemy here. And they're trying to oppose us. God, would you work? God, would you take control of this situation? God, turn what they're trying to do against themselves. Can I tell you something? We have an enemy. There's an enemy that does not want First Baptist Church to grow. There's an enemy that does not want First Baptist Church to see people saved and to grow in their walk with the Lord. He doesn't want any of that, and his name is the devil. And he's going to do everything he can to oppose First Baptist Church's growth. He's going to try to cause conflict. He's going to try to mock. He's going to say, man, you people at First Baptist Church, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, look at this project you're taking on. You guys don't know anything. And he's going to mock and he's going to ridicule. But you know what we need to do? We need to stand courageously against our enemy. And we need to start, and we need to keep moving forward for the cause of Christ. And that's what Nehemiah did. Again, this was a big, daunting job. And he had those who were opposing him. They tried to stop. They tried to get him to stop. Again, if you go into chapter 4, verse number 16, and it came to pass from that time forward that the half of my servants wrought in work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. So what happens? They say, man, these enemies, they're going to come and attack us. If you read earlier, they got together, they were going to come and attack the city. And they began to pray and say, God, we need your help. We need your protection. But do you know the thing that they didn't stop? They didn't stop building. You know, sometimes we think, well, all we're supposed to do is pray. You know, we'll just pray and then it's up to God to do it. No, that's not the way God works. God says, you still have to step out by faith. You still have to be obedient to what I have for you to do. Yes, we do need to pray. And that's what we find them doing. They're praying, saying, God, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to protect us. But we're going to keep doing what you want us to do. We're going to keep building this wall until it's done. And they prayed and they worked and they prayed and they worked. And even how God gave Nehemiah the wisdom and what to do, half of them would be working at a time while half would be resting. And even those that were working, I don't know if they used concrete back then or not, but if they had a trowel and they're smoothing out the concrete over those blocks, you know what they had right on their side? It wasn't a Glock. They had a sword. They had a sword on their side. And they had a spear leaning right up against the wall there, because they knew if the enemy came, they were going to be ready to defend the city. But yet they still kept on working, half of them working, half of them resting. And even Nehemiah said, here's what's going to happen. We're all doing our part, right? We're doing our part here. Maybe I'm on the north side, and you're doing your part over here on the south side. And if the enemy attacks the south side, if the enemy comes, it's up to you. You got to defend it. No, that's not what he said. Now, the work, that was their responsibility. But he said, if the enemy comes, you blow the trumpet, and everybody from the north, east, and west is going to come to the south, and we're going to help you. We're going to help you defeat the enemy when they come. And vice versa. If we're up here on the north side, and the enemy comes and attacks the north side, we're going to blow the trumpet, and we want all of you to come up and help us to defeat the enemy. Sounds a little bit like what we talked about in our Armor of God series, how every one of us is so important that we work together for the cause of Christ against this enemy. We're not standing here alone. He said, yes, the work, I've given you a specific job to do. You've got to do that. But when the enemy comes and attacks, we're all going to rally together. We're going to work together to defeat this enemy. We're all working together on the wall. But when they attack, we're all going to come together wherever the enemy's attacking, and we're going to stand together. Man, they were courageous in what they did. Here's the enemy that wants nothing to do with them. They want to attack. They want to leave them destitute. We want to destroy what they're doing. But they said, you know what? We're going to stand courageously. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to give us wisdom. We're going to ask God to help us here. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep working. We're going to keep moving forward for the cause of Christ. I love what Nehemiah says. And this is where we see the third point. Not only were they sacrificing, not only were they courageous, but they would not be sidetracked. They wouldn't be sidetracked. In chapter 6, as the enemy has seen that they're prepared, they've got swords and they've got spears, and they're not just going to lie down and take it, they say, well, let's come up with a different idea. Let's get Nehemiah away from the city. Let's have a peace talk, right? Let's get Nehemiah away from the city, and when we get Nehemiah away from the city, then we'll kill Nehemiah, and that will destroy, that will keep everything from going. So what happens? It says in verse number 2, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah, chapter 6, verse 1, and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem said unto me, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. They said, hey, come on, Nehemiah. Why don't you come out here? Let's have a little talk. Come out here to one of these villages outside of Jerusalem. Let's have a little, get him outside of the city. Get him outside. Get him alone. Get him away from the rest of the people. Let's get him all out here. Let's get Nehemiah out here. Let's have a little talk. But Nehemiah said, no, I know what you're doing. You're trying to get the work of the Lord to stop. And even if it means mischief to me, you're going to try to kill me so that that will make the work of the Lord stop. And watch what he says. This is great. And I sent messengers unto them. Notice Nehemiah didn't stop the work. He just sent somebody to respond. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? You know what Nehemiah said? Nehemiah said, I can't stop. You know why? The wall's not done. The wall's not done. What God has given me to do is not done. And until it's done, I can't stop. I've got to keep going. There were still some things that need to be done. Some of the gates still need to be put up. And by the way, when you read about it, it's really interesting. Some people were, they all had different jobs. Some were laying the blocks. Some were putting up the doors. Some were laying beams. Some were just putting locks on the doors. They all had different assignments, but they were all working together. And Nehemiah said, until it's done, I can't stop. I am doing a great work. Really? Really? Building a wall? Building a wall is a great work. I mean, come on, Nehemiah. Ezra did a great work. Ezra rebuilt the temple. That was a great work there. But a wall? How, Nehemiah, how is that a great work? It's just a wall. It's just a wall. It's nobody's going to come and be like, wow, look at this amazing wall. Now, they did to the temple. They would come, man, look at this amazing temple. Look at this beautiful building. Nobody's going to be like, wow, this is a really great wall. Yet Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Was it that the wall was great? No. Had nothing to do with the wall. You know why the work was great? Because God gave him the work to do. And no matter what work God gives you to do, it is a great work. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm just a Sunday school teacher to these little kids. I'm not doing anything special. I just pick up kids and bring them to church. I don't do anything special. I just clean the church. That's nothing special. I'm just a helper in a class, or I just work in the nursery, or I just work in the sound booth. I don't do anything special. There's nothing really special about what I do. I mean, I'm not the pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a lead or anything. I'm just here doing what God wants me to do. That's a great work. That's a great work. Whether it's teaching children, whether it's watching kids in the nursery, whether it's cleaning the church or the floors or the toilets or whatever it might be, whether it's some of the young people trying to play instruments and for special music, whether it's singing, whether it's teaching, whatever it might be, whatever God has laid upon your heart and said, hey, this is what I'm, that is a great work. You know why many Christians, they don't enjoy serving the Lord? Because they don't realize it is a great work. They think, well, the great work, that's the pastor. I mean, he gets up and preaches. And the missionaries, they get to go to all these countries and they get to write these great letters that we read. Man, they're the ones doing a great work. Nehemiah built a wall. And he said it was a great work. It was a great work. Why? Because it's what God wanted him to do. It's what God wanted him to do. And he said, we will not be sidetracked. We're not going to leave. We're not going to come down until the work is finished. One thing that we must never do is to get sidetracked from the main mission and purpose of the church. The main objective is not larger facilities. The main objective, the main mission of the church is not to have big buildings. The main mission of the church is souls. The main purpose of the church is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can know Him as their personal Savior, so that they can start growing in their relationship with Him. That is the main purpose of the church. And we as a church must never be sidetracked from that. Never get sidetracked from the main purpose of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can never be sidetracked. But the more we reach people, the more need there is for space. And the more people that are growing and the more people, man, what a blessing last week to see how many people got saved last year and to see those that went through the discipleship program, those that joined the church, that are now part serving in the church. What a blessing that is. And to be able to see that year after year after year. And guess what happens? Because of that, God's blessing and the church is growing and there is a need for space. There is a need for a larger building and facilities. And that's what we're going to try to do. But hear me very clearly. The main purpose and the main goal of First Baptist Church is not to be able to say, we have the largest building in Preble County. It's not that is not our goal. That is not our mission. Our goal and mission is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to be doing together, working as a body of believers to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's why we're having that personal evangelism class, because we want people to know how to tell people about Jesus Christ. How to be able to give them a track and pull a track out of your pocket and say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. By the way, do you know the Lord is your Savior? By the way, if you died today, do you know for sure where you go? You say, oh, but Pastor, I don't think I could say that. I don't know if I could do that. Then you ought to come to the personal evangelism class. That's what the whole class is about, trying to teach people how to do that. But here's the thing. Listen, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? What is it? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What did he say? If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you are to be a witness. You're to be a witness. If you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, the purpose that God gave you the Holy Spirit was to help you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Why? That's our purpose. That's our purpose. That's our mission. And we should never get sidetracked from that. That's why we have the different ministries and different programs and things like that to try to reach people with the gospel. What's the purpose of Vacation Bible School? Is it just to have a bunch of fun and have kids come in? No. It's to reach people with the gospel. What's the purpose of having different ministries and having teen overnighters? It's to try to get teenagers to come so that if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they can accept Him. You see, our primary purpose, and one that should never, ever be sidetracked from, is to tell people about Jesus Christ so that they can have that personal relationship with Christ, so that they can know the same thing that you and I know. If you're a Christian here, you know, hey, I know Christ is my Savior. Doesn't someone else deserve to know that as well? That's why He came. He didn't just die for you and for me. He died for the world so that they can know Christ. Yes. Do we need some larger facilities? Absolutely. And can we work together and see great things accomplished? Absolutely. Man, we can sacrifice and we can be courageous and be moving forward for the cause of Christ, but never, ever, ever should we ever get sidetracked from what our main purpose is. And that is telling people about Jesus Christ. And helping them to come to know Christ as their Savior. And then helping them to grow in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. And God blessed what Nehemiah did. And in 52 days, verse number 15, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. He said, all right, now it's done. Now I can come down because the work that God has led me to do is finished. I don't think he went out and met with those guys. In fact, we didn't. But he said, the work is done. The work that God gave me is finished. It's a great work. We're not going to stop until it's done. The work that God has given us to do is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we should never, ever stop until the Lord returns or until the Lord calls us. That is our mission. We should never forget that. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Friend, maybe you're here and you would say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'm not sure if I died, I don't know where I would go. Oh, I hope I would go to heaven. I've been to church, been religious, but I really do not know where I would go. Friend, if that's you today, we would love to take the Word of God and show you how you can absolutely be sure that you know that your sins are forgiven and that you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity. Maybe there's someone here today, you say, Pastor, I'd like to know more about that. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's going to call you out. We're not going to come to you or anything. But I do want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure 100%. I'd like to know more. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Nobody's looking about. And Christian, God's given us a great work to do, to reach people for Christ, and it is a great work. And God is blessed. We've seen souls saved this past year, and the church is growing. We need larger facilities. Maybe God is speaking to your heart, saying, hey, this is the part of the wall that I want you to work on. This is your part. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's a certain amount. Maybe you could say, hey, I'm going to be one of those 100 that I'm going to give $100 a month to help meet my project. Or maybe you could say, I could give more. Or maybe it's less, whatever it might be. Maybe God's speaking to your heart of saying, you know what, I need to be involved in the work. I'm not really involved anywhere. I'm just kind of watching everybody do the work, but I'm not doing anything. You know, there were those that were working on gates, working on walls, putting on hinges, putting up beams, putting on door locks. Everybody was needed. We need you to be involved. We need you to find a place to be involved and serve. He said, Pastor, I don't know where, but I'm willing. Then come and talk to me. He said, Pastor, I'm willing to serve somewhere. I just don't know where. Why don't you come and talk to me and we can sit down and we can find out where God could use you to serve on that wall so that that could be used to reach others for Christ. Father, I pray that you would just bless in the invitation. Lord, help us as a church to realize how important it is that we all work together for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we never, ever get sidetracked from our main purpose, reaching souls for Christ. Lord, bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll just...